You say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want it to be. You need enough.
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and oh man, it's happened again. We're starting off the new year right. Oh wow, do we have a great book. We have a great guest. And I'm telling you, you know, we've said it for the last, I don't know how many years we've been doing this show. We've said it over and over again. You know, it's going to be another great show. Well, here we do, opening up the new year. And guess what? It's another great show. That's what we've got today. And we have got Dr. Bob Nelson. Wait. Yes, I hear the applause. Yeah, it's that Dr. Bob Nelson. It's that Dr. Bob. Awesome. Multi-million copy seller, best-selling author. When it comes to employee recognition, no one does it better. No one understands it more. No one has done the research. And this latest book that he's got, oh my golly molly. Work Made Fun Gets Done. Whew. Folks, let me just say something. Here's the deal. You know, we often think, and Dr. Bob points this out in the book, you know, we often think that work and fun is oil and water and they don't mix. You know, that's, if you're still living in 1947, maybe that works for you, okay? But the fact of the matter is that in today's world, here's the truth. If you do not have a place that is enjoyable for your people, guess what? You're probably not as profitable as you could be. You probably don't have the loyalty that you could have. You probably are not nearly as productive with your people as it possibly can be. And can I tell you who's not knocking at your door to come work for you? The largest group of employees out there. It's called the millennial generation. You know why? Because fun is part of what they want in their next job. And if you're
or
not
the
doing
current job.
Or yeah, or the current job. Right. Thanks, Dr. Bob. And here's the here is the deal. We say it on this show. We say it all the time. I walk you through the four areas of your life, right? We say it all the time. Here's the deal. If you are not growing, you're dying. And if your business is not growing, if your business is not embracing fun as part of your business, guess what? Your business is probably dying. It certainly isn't as good as it could be. He is going to help deliver the goods. I'm just telling you, he's going to deliver. We're going to talk about fun individually. We're going to talk about fun in leadership. We're going to talk about fun as a team. We're going to talk about fun in the organization. We're going to talk about bringing fun into the workplace. Folks, we're going to do that. We're going to be with him in just a second. But before we do that, let's do what we do. Have done every show since we started this thing, right? I walk you through the four areas of your life. We check in to see how you're doing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because here's the deal. We are four-part people, right? I mean, we have just come through. We're still part of a pandemic. That feels like it's been going on forever. But you know what the truth is? We can still work on ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so if you're new to the show or if you've never listened to the show, here's the deal. We rank ourselves every week on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being miserable, 10 being outstanding when it comes to our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual training, right? So what do we mean physically? So on a scale of 1 to 10, physically, if you were to evaluate yourself on your exercise, your eating right, getting enough water, enough sleep, just taking care of your body, how would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 5 being average, right? That's your first number. All right, so hold on to that number. The second number is your mental number. And what we're asking you here is, how are you working your mind? What are you doing to grow in knowledge? What are you doing to grow your understanding of maybe your work or other things in your life? We have two brains. It's a right brain and a left brain. Our right brain is creative. Our left brain is more logical. You know what? Reading books are an active way for us to improve our mental part of our game. So when it comes to your training, and there's other ways too, you know, taking up an instrument, learning a foreign language, all those are ways, right? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say your mental training is going? Okay, now you have two numbers, right? Now the third number is the emotional number, right? And emotionally, there's a lot that goes into emotional, but there really is two things that for us on this show, when it comes to ranking or putting a number to your emotions, it is one, how able are you to control your emotions, especially under stress and pressure? And then secondly, how well are you able to tap into and understand the emotions of other people? And that requires active listening. Matter of fact, one of my goals this year, one of my emotional goals this year is to be a better listener, right? I just want to be a better listener. I want to be more present. I really want to hear. Instead of being so anxious to come up with the next thing to say, it's truly just to listen, right? Because you know what? We need to all do that a little better. Right? So on a scale
of... Give yourself permission to listen.
Yeah, give yourself permission to listen, right? So on a scale, right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you're doing in that area? And then finally, the spiritual area, right? And you go, well, Jay, I'm not really all that spiritual. We're all spiritual. We really are. You have faith in something, right? Matter of fact, if you've set goals or resolutions or whatever you do this year, the truth of the matter is you've got some sense of faith that you're going to carry them out and get them done, right? That's spiritual. But there's also another side of it too, right? Wherever we run to whenever we're in trouble, that means we believe that that's going to solve the problem, and that becomes spiritual. And then there's another part. What brings you a sense of peace or a sense of joy in the midst of chaos? That's spiritual. So whether that is you believe in God or whether you believe nature or meditation, whatever it is, there's two questions. How's it working for you? And how would you rank it? Right? Now you got four numbers. Those four numbers, as I always say, are like the legs of the chair. If the legs of the chair are uneven, you know what? It creates bad posture. If the legs of the chair are too low, you know what happens? You can't eat a table and eat nourishing food. And speaking of someone who's got his four legs all at the right level, his name is Dr. Bob Nelson. He is president of Nelson Motivation Incorporated and the world's leading authority on employee recognition and engagement. He has published over 30 books that have sold over 5 million copies that have been translated into over 30 languages. He has presented on 6 continents and worked with thousands of organizations, including over 80% of the Fortune 500 companies. He is currently a senior fellow for the Conference Board, a top thought leader for the Best Practices Institute, and has been named a leading global employee engagement influencer by EE Awards and a top 5 management guru by Global Gurus. He received an MBA in organizational behavior from UC Berkeley and his PhD in management education with Dr. Peter Drucker, the father of modern management at Claremont Graduate University in Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to the first time, and I'm hopeful not the last time, Dr. Bob Nelson. Welcome, Dr. Bob.
Jay, what an intro. Thank you so much. I loved what you how you kicked that off, and I love that yardstick to bring people back to. I think it's something we have to keep constant focus on. Otherwise, you get out of balance. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, right. We have to be in balance, and I think what a great way to segue into the book, because I think what has happened is we talk about work-life balance, but what we don't talk about is balance within work, and I think. This book, Work Made Fun Gets Done, helps us realize that we can have balance at work. True?
Yeah, exactly. Work-life integration is another way to put it. It's got to be at the same time. It's not, I'm going to have a great time this weekend, and meanwhile, if I can only get through today, it's like... Oh, right. Make the day a little bit more fun and whatever you're working on. You know?
Right.
And here's some strategies to do that have worked for other people. All my books tend to be putting a focus, a research base on a topic, but then it's all actual real examples from actual people and real companies. And in this book, over 400 specific real life examples and strategies that people are doing right now, and it's working for them, you know? So, but, you know, just to kind of bring to a head the importance of this, is because it seems like a simple, silly thing, fun at work. Yeah, that's, you know, if I stop worrying about my bills, I'll work on that, you know? But, you know, Steve Jobs, he used to start every morning in his bathroom, staring in the mirror and saying, asking himself, am I excited about my day and what I have to do ahead of me today? And he said if the answer to that question was no for too many days in a row, he'd say, time to make a change, time to do something else. And then he would do it. So it's like that was his, litmus test that he hung to. And boy, he's got the first and only company that's about to to hit $3 trillion in market cap. So
right.
That's got something about what was inside him became something that we've all benefited from. So I think that's a big example. But, you know, no matter what it is you're doing, are you living a purposeful life where you're enjoying yourself and not waiting until you retire to, you know, do what you really want to do? I've heard and seen too many stories like that. And it's like, why wait? You know,
right.
And maybe that's, you know, so that's a different show on how to career development, how to get to where you want to go from where you are now. But in my experience, that starts with what you're doing right now, not what you hope to do 10 years from now.
Right.
So how can you make what you're doing right now more fun, more engaging? You can be more excited about it. And sure enough, you will be better at it when you bring those elements to it. And you would be a better person to know, and you'll be a better member of your family, and your spouse will, it just ripples from there,
right.
You know, because the days, as you indicated, the days of categorizing as we're paid to work, we have fun on the weekend, that's long gone.
Right.
And with the millennials, it is true that they expect this to be part of what they're all about. 59% say they expect work to be fun. In fact, someone gave me a definition of millennials recently. They said it's, they view work as college plus a paycheck. You know, that they want to have the same freedom, to be exciting, to, you know, all that flexibility, but also be paid to do that. That's how they view work. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes a ton of sense because I think we miss that. And, you know, you were so good about pointing that out in the introduction, right? You say, quote, millennials are more fun loving, surpassed only by being tech savvy. And it is the largest workforce that we have out there. And I think what people fail to understand when it comes to millennials, there's a lot of complaining, but the problem is you're not understanding why they jump from job to job to job. They're looking. It's not that they're, it's not like they're just not working. They're looking for something that is going to give them what they're looking for.
Yeah. And that something isn't just the money. And so if they've got a friend who's working at a startup or has created their own app, I want some of that. You know, I want, if it's not going to happen here and I'm in a cubicle or I've got, you know, my boss's boss doesn't even know who I am. It's like, yeah, it's not happening. And so to live life fully is, you know, can sound like a big goal, but it starts with what you're doing right now. And you know, the work you have ahead of you for the day and the task, and then, you know, who you work with, you're part of a team. And even if you're working virtually now, that a lot of people are, you're still very much a part of a team. It's changed how best to connect with them, and fun is always going to be one of those elements that makes the connection stronger.
Right.
That makes people be a magnet to you. And if you're a leader, that's powerful. But even if you're not, it's like people want to be part of your sphere because you're making it happen.
Right.
You're having fun, and you're excited about your life, and let me get closer to that because maybe it'll rub off on me, you know?
Right.
So, I know I've always personally been, attracted to people that are happy, and that helps to make me happy, partly just from learning from them. And partly I've got people that I've got one of my closest associates, actually my co-author of this book. I've known for 34 years. Mm. And we've worked in the same company a couple different places. And whenever we're together, it seems like all we do is laugh. We get a lot done. We're constantly working, but we're always having fun as well.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be one or another, you know. And nothing else fun until we get through this job. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, you have strategies for doing that. I think of, here's a wild example for you. When I was doing my my doctoral dissertation, which is a really, really hard thing to do. You know, 60% of those people that started PhD programs are, we call them ABD, all but dissertation, because it's hard as hell to to write original content that's going to be viewed. And you know, writing in general is scary. And I've done 31 books. You know, it's scary to me. It's hard to do. And because it's you're exposing your inner thinking, and you're open to criticism, and it really causes you pause to the point where it could be a block, you know. But when I was doing my dissertation, I got to a point where, you know, you do not want to pick up a pen. You do not want to. You're stuck, basically. And I got to the point where I kind of had a flash. If I don't make it happen right now, it's not going to happen. And I had a trip scheduled, and in fact, that was part of my trials and tribulations of doing a PhD. In the middle of it, I did a best-selling book that sold 2 million copies, and so I got overwhelmed. But I came to the point where I said, it's now or never. And you know what I did? I put on Tom Petty's Free Falling on repeat at full blast, probably 50 loops, and I was in a mental, physical cage, and to crank through it, and it worked.
Wow.
But I canceled the trip I had that week, is now or never. And so in many ways, and I haven't thought about that a lot, but I turned to fun to help me see something through that was very important to me.
And, you know, this is, matter of fact, in the introduction, by the way, we're talking with Dr. Bob Nelson, author, co-author of the book, Work Made Fun Gets Done, available bookstores near you and Amazon's for sure. You can also go to drbobnelson.com. That's drbobnelson.com, and you can find his books there too as well. One of the things that attracts me right out of the gate from this book is you have a subheading in the introduction. It says what our philosophy is, and you have these five do's and don'ts. And I thought, you know what? These are so simple, and yet they're so not practiced. And so I'd like to just run through the do's, if you don't mind. So do number one, be playful, choose to have fun. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's all, everything in life starts with the choice. And so if you start the day, you start the task, you start a meeting with a playful attitude, it's more likely to happen than if you come in dreading, you know, another damn meeting or whatever it might be, or if you dread what you're doing, that is going to drag on you, and it's going to drag on people around you. It's just a fact, you know, that we're all connected. So you can be the energy source that you bring to your own work and to those that you're working with, or you could be part of the person that has the breaks and is sour about everything and is complaining. And there's lots of people in both camps. So
right.
Choose to be the one that's that's upbeat,
right,
that is enjoying, and even if, you know, there's the whole train of thought that even if you have to fake it, you know, for till you make it, you know,
right,
that will become the reality to you. That if you refuse to be dragged down or
right,
pulled into someone else's you know, drain of negativity, that's tough. So I know I am constantly on the lookout, and you know, if you have someone like that in your life, you either have to make sure it's not draining from you, and if it's someone that, you know, like I've got a relative that's very cynical, very negative, and I still see them, but boy, we are. I don't go there with them when they talk about stuff. I will constantly change the topic to a more pleasant topic. And so that's for one person that, you know, you got people in your life that you can't, or you're connected at the hip for your life, family and whatnot. But for a lot of people, you can choose who you work with,
right,
and the work that you're doing. So if you're not having fun, I think it starts with having that commitment to saying, you know what, I want fun to be part of my life, and not when I retire, and not on the weekend, but all the time.
Right.
And that becomes a huge buffer against the negativity and the cynicism that's right. out there.
Yeah, Dr. Amy Cuddy, who was at Harvard University, she wrote a book called Presence, but she did a lot of research work on all sorts of areas, including, you know, being able to change your body, to change your motivation. And she talked a lot about, she talked quite a bit in her research about fake it to make it. And she talked about how if you will make your body bigger, you know, pull your shoulders back, get your chest out, before you get on the phone, before you make that call, even though you don't feel like it, doing all the physical things necessary, it happens because you've put your body in that state. And I think there is also that thing when it comes to, you know, saying I can choose to have fun. I say it on the show all the time that, you know, when it comes to our emotions, we have a choice. You know, I mean, my emotions should not be affected by what you do to me because I can choose whatever you do. And I used to tell my psychology students in, you know, my college and university psychology classes, look, the truth of the matter is you could kick me as hard as you want in the shin. I have, you know, an unlimited number of responses that I can make, but it doesn't have to be me kicking you back. And it doesn't have to be me being angry with you. And it doesn't have to be me curling up in a ball. Because the truth is, I can laugh, right? I can walk away. I have choices in my emotions. And
yes.
I think
it's not automatic. Maybe the pain is automatic.
Right.
But then what you choose to do is...
Right. What my response... Right. We have a rule in my wife and I have a rule, right? I'm 100% responsible for what I say. I'm 100% responsible for what I do. I'm 100%... But I'm also 100% responsible for how I respond, regardless of what you do.
Yeah,
that's the truth, right?
And we're not gonna, and she's not gonna let you off the hook, to,
right?
Because you're in a bad mood, you're gonna bring her down,
right? Right, and it's not, and yeah. and right. I mean, and if she does say something to me that, you know, maybe felt hurtful at the time, I have a choice that I want to respond to that.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have to feel hurt.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I can actually come back with that, which I often do, is I diffuse a lot of things with humor.
There you go. There you go.
Right. That's my defense. By the way, his name is Dr. Bob Nelson. The book entitled "Work Made Fun Gets Done." You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks! I got two great, awesome sponsors. Epic Physical Therapy. Doesn't matter if you're recovering from an injury, surgery, suffering everyday aches and pains. Maybe you're a professional athlete or a high school athlete, and you just want to improve the way you move and feel. Look, they will provide you with a customized treatment plan tailored to your individual needs, because they understand that treating the entire body as a functional whole, not just your symptoms or your injury, is the key. When you're ready for your epic relief, your epic recovery, and your epic results, go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for over 35 years, have served the world when it comes to real estate. They can help you sell your home. They can help you buy your next home. And you know what they're going to do is take care of you, because they have been known as the legends of customer service, because they understand what you want and what you need, because they understand how precious your home is to you. And they want to make a relationship with you. So when you're ready to get to that sold sign or buy your first home or your next home, go to Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. Go to lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Dr. Bob Nelson, having some fun, talking about fun. And we're talking about the philosophies of the do's that he has. And we've done one. Do number one, be playful. Do number two, be open and flexible. Talk about that.
Yeah, and so these are maybe different shades of one bigger topic, but you've got to be receptive to looking for fun, willing to be playfulness, maybe leading the charge, and then receptive with those people around you that attempt. It's easy to shoot people down and say, you know, I don't have time for that or whatever, but it's also easy to to just thank them and move on. So it's again, the whole idea is that you can be the driver of the person you want to be, the life you want to be. And for everyone, if that can be fun, if that can be enjoyable, if that could be meaningful, if that could be purposeful, if that could be, you could be more engaged and live life fully engaged. This is a key element to making that happen. And for, you know, so if for some people that maybe, well, I like a good joke, or I like having fun, it's like, well, double down and work that into your conversations. You know, like, right. Abraham Lincoln, I recently read a book about him, and man, regardless of the circumstances, he would always kind of have a quick story, a funny story that kind of became calming and connecting for whoever he was with. And that was in a lot of times of sorrow and panic and deep concern. He would always lighten the tone in the room and with the people he's talking with. He was known for it. Ronald Reagan, for a more recent version of a political example. But you know, in all of life, you could be the person that does that with the people that are important to you.
Number three, experiment, try new things. What?
Yes.
Experiment with fun. What? Come on, Dr. Bob.
Yeah. Well, it's not like my co-author and I, Mario Tamayo, we would, when we worked together at a company, and this was like 20, 25 years ago, we would say, well, this was an important topic to us. And so we were constantly saying we'd start a meeting and have someone tell a joke, and we'll, who wants to do next week's joke, you know, and hey, you got a whole week to prepare, come up with one joke. Even if you're not good at it, it's going to be, and even if you do a joke, it's not that good, we're still going to laugh. And now we're at a different place, and maybe just learn how to do a joke a little bit better. So stuff like that, or we would experiment with standing meetings. We had a time where, because we had a pretty excited group, we were making a lot of stuff happen. It got so that people had so much to say. We were always talking on top of each other. I brought in a coconut one day. I said, okay, here's a new rule. If you want to talk, you got to be holding the coconut. So we throw that around. Give me my turn, you know, and it just helped, you know, put a tame the chaos, and but in a fun way, you know. So and on, you know, we just keep experimenting. And
love that.
And when you experiment, you know, anytime you experiment with anything, you know, sometimes it could work, sometimes it's not.
Right.
If it didn't, what you tried, if it did, well, hey, how can we do that again? How can we build on that?
Right.
Boy, yeah. that's a powerful lesson right there. How do you, so you won't get anywhere if you don't try, if you don't experiment, if you don't start with yes, this is real, and then make it happen. I've got just a boatload of examples. So let me just work one in real quick. I was speaking to 800 people in Seattle a couple of years ago, and this person in the front row, they looked really familiar. I said, have we met before? She goes, yeah, I saw you 6 weeks ago when you were here presenting, and I had to come tell you what happened. Well, what happened? She goes, I heard you speak. I left the room saying, this is real. I'm making it happen. I'm not asking for permission. I'm going to do the things this guy has been saying in my sphere of influence and I go, well, what'd you do? You know, she goes, well, we created in my department a happiness committee. It had five people that were members of it, but no one knew who they were. Any one of them could say it's time to do something. Morale's low or whatever. We're celebrating a new contract, whatever. I go, well, what types of things would you do? Well, we had a picnic on the roof of the building in downtown Seattle once, and we bartered meeting space with a limo company in the next block over that needed a place to meet, and they give us limo rides that we can use for, you know, and on. It was just getting in the game and doing stuff. And but she said the impact was unbelievable. It's like there's an explosion in our department that everyone was now excited to the point where other people were noticing. They're saying, what are you doing? You guys are on fire. Go, well, come to the next meeting. You know, we don't have any secrets here. And fast forward from that first time she heard me speak, fast forward 18 months later, that company, a law firm of all places, Perkins Coie, entered the best places to work in America, number 22 on the list.
Wow.
I would contend from one person, not at the top. We all tend to think, well, the CEO has to make it happen. She was a manager in the finance department in the middle of the organizations, and started, and it just went out from there. And she basically converted and changed the culture of that organization. And of course, law firms tend to be stuffy, you know, old school.
Right,
and so
right.
All the more credit to her.
That's awesome.
And anyone can do that. That's a law firm. I just get, you know, I do a lot of work in healthcare, and boy, it's a gloomy time right now. But even before the pandemic, it was a tough job. It was high stress and burnout and people working double shifts and night shifts and whatnot. And I've worked with over 100 hospitals, and I'd say, you know what, you guys are, I've forgotten that you're doing God's work.
Right.
You've gotten caught up in the Medicare forms, and you're doing God's work. You know, you should be joyful,
right,
on a daily basis. And if it's not, you got to get back to that.
Right.
And let's talk about how to do that, you know,
right,
for you personally and for your group. And suddenly, you know, like I know a hospital now that when someone leaves that has survived COVID, they put on music, you know, and they line up in the hall as they check out, and you know, they celebrate the moments, you know.
right.
And that makes it a little easier for every one of them to go back and to keep at it, you know, because
right. They're
gonna have a lot of loss along the same way. And it's gonna be a personal burden. And it is a personal burden unless you counteract it with things that are fun and meaningful and purposeful. So again, in every organization I work with, I learn something from them, and I tend to, you know, pass it on to others and stuff it in the book of real examples, real ideas. I had and I just love, you know, like part of the fun of doing a book. Book's hard, very hard thing to do, but part of the fun is, you know, you can. I sent out one email, and I've got at this point kind of a worldwide network, and I just one email, and I just got deluged by examples. I'm looking for examples of how you made something fun, and I was, I guess if there's one thing in the whole project that just caught me off guard was that how fun is different for every person. I kind of thought, well, you know, if you ask me what's fun, well, fun's when you're laughing. Yeah, that's fun. And you ask my wife that, that's not what she said. She would say, well, fun is when you had a good day at work, you got a lot done, you can come back and you can appreciate that it was a good day. That's fun. I'm going, okay, well, that sounds good. I wouldn't say that was fun, but it's fun to her. So no two people I talked to had the same version of fun. And that's okay, because that just makes the topic even richer and more and broader. I had one lady I interviewed and how do you make your work more fun and meaningful? And she said, well, in 2015, Yo-Yo Ma played to 8,000 people live from memory, a 3-hour concert, Bach's 6 concertos for the cello. And she said, when you hear that, when I hear that, it just runs through me. And if I'm working, no matter what I'm working on, when I hear that music, I feel purpose in what I'm doing. And so she goes, if I've got a hard project, a hard task, I put that on, the background music, and it speaks to me and empowers me and excites me. And damn, I got off the phone. I immediately did it. She was right. And since she contacted me, that she, November 15th, Yo-Yo Ma was at the Hollywood Bowl, you know, doing the same concert. She flew there to hear it live. She said she spent the whole 3 hours crying. She was just, it was like the hands of God coming. You know? And so, wow, that she has something to hold on to. And so she had a strategy when she had tough assignment, tough work. She would have a strategy. One, and she had others too, but that was just one. And man, these strategies work. And so you don't have to be a lone soldier kind of saying, well, maybe we'll have a happy hour this Friday. Be the person that says, hey, why don't we do this? We always do the same thing. Let's try something else. And worst that could happen is they say no, or worst, or it doesn't work. And then what'd you learn from that? You know?
Right. It's what's interesting here is you just did number four. learn, refine, and reply, and reapply. Right? I mean, that's what you went from experiment. I didn't even get. I want to go. Well, what's number four? Well, he just did number. He went experiment and did number four, which is awesome because you just rolled into it. Number five was be patient, and this one was a little bit weird. Why do we need to be patient when it comes to the fun part aspect of it?
Because there's so many things that I see people that they, okay, well, I'll try it once, and then if they don't get the results and they're not immediate, so this topic has a lot of benefits that are longer term. You can't do one thing on Tuesday and now that's going to, stop all your turnover in your company. That's not going to happen. But if this becomes part of who you are and you build on it and now you're doing a lot of things and everyone's doing it, yeah, that could make the biggest difference in why people decide to stay versus leave your organization. Part of fun things is a simple fun thing. Another kind of common sense that often is in common practice is that I did my doctoral dissertation on, by the way, was on the power of recognizing and thanking employees. And what really could be easier? Common sense that thank someone that did a good job, that did you a favor or finished something on time. And you know how infrequently that happens at work? It's only 12% of employees say that they get thanked and praised and recognized for something they busted their butt to do, maybe through the weekend or whatever. 12%, and 85% feel overworked and underappreciated. Well, what the heck? Why? Because they got a manager that thinks, well, I'm paying you, so that should be enough, or who knows what? There's a whole bunch of clutter that keeps you from doing this. But be the person that thanks people. Hey, I know you, thanks for putting your work aside and working on the problem I brought you. I know you didn't have to do that. It really meant the world to me. How long did that take? Was that even 10 seconds? Mm. Well, guess what? They're going to notice that. Right. They might even share that example with, their spouse that evening. Guess who? Well, out of the blue, they thanked me. I was floored because my manager's manager in the hall said, hey, good job on such. I didn't even know you knew I was working on that, but someone had told him, and now he took the time to say something in the hallway. You're going to make the person's day,
Right.
And you don't need a lot of that to keep going, but it's amazing how many companies where it's just, they're at loggerheads I just want to get in and plant some seeds. And that's what the books become. They become seeds, So to have it, in fact, the one, I did a book called The 1,001 Ways to Reward Employees. And the one feedback that I got from people said, the problem we have with your book is that people steal it from our desk. and I had fun with that. I actually came out with a version that had I drilled holes in the books and attached them to a chain so you could have them on your desk.
Oh, funny. That's awesome.
I rolled with it, That's great. How about in human resources? How about people were coming to you and they wanted a resource that you had that you were using because it was on your desk,
Right.
And it was highlighted and dog-eared and paper-clipped and posted post notes in it on things that you got that are you're trying, and now you give it to them to do the same. So which reminds me of another very simple technique that I was working with a company, and the HR manager said, you know, first met me in their office and said, you know, years ago I bought this book, and not this book's just out, so the previous book, 1001 Rewards, and I got this. I said, this is so critical. We have got to get traction on this. And so what she did is she said, I found three examples in the book that I said, I'm going to do these. I circled them in colored ink, and I signed my name in the front of the book. And I said, this is my public commitment. And she gave it to another manager to do the same. And she showed me the book. It had hundreds of names in the front, all color-coded. People making a public commitment is, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I picked out, in any book, if you get one or two ideas that could actually help you and right. change your life, boy, that's a keeper. There's a wealth, and it's going to probably be different for everyone because they've got different outlooks and different experiences. So have them find what would work for them and have them commit to doing it. And that was a strategy to get the behavior going throughout their organization, which they were able to do.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. His name is Dr. Bob Nelson. The book is entitled Work Made Fun Gets Done, Easy Ways to Boost Energy, Morale, and Results. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Folks, my sponsors, right, Epic Physical Therapy, their facilities offer the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, including the anti-gravity treadmill, the Norotec compression sleeves, Game Ready. That's just a few. Listen, they are trained and certified in the most comprehensive cutting-edge treatments available. Listen, when you're ready for your epic relief, your epic recovery, and your epic results, don't look any further. Go to epicpt.com. That's E-P-I-C-P-T.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, I'm just telling you, you just go to the website. Just go to lindacraft.com, L-I-N-D-A-C-R-A-F-T.com. I want you to go there, and I'll tell you why. Because when you go there, you are going to see, I think, one of the most comprehensive, if not the most comprehensive, website on how to buy a home, how to sell your home, what they do in marketing, meet their team. I'm just telling you, it is so comprehensive and filled with all sorts of data and things that you need to know as a seller and a buyer. It's because they give it away for free. Listen, I know. I've seen them at work. So when you're ready for your sold sign, or you're ready to purchase that next home, start right there. Start Linda Kraft and team. Start at lindacraft.com. Go to lindacraft.com.
And in today's market, I tell you, you need to have someone that's very knowledgeable.
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because if you're buying, it's so hard right now. And if you're selling, it's also, you know, it's really hard too because, you know, how do you price it? So you want to maximize the market, but if you price it wrong and then you have to do, you know, post a discounted price, your property's dead, you know?
Right. And what's the fun in that?
Yeah. So having someone that really knows what they're doing in this type of market is critical.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Dr. Bob. This is why Dr. Bob makes it so much fun. Dr. Bob, this book is divided up into four sections. It's the individual, the leader, the team, and then the organization. And I'm just going to walk through chapter two real quick, which is called Surprises, Morale Boosters, and Thoughtful Gestures. And you give us some statistics that I thought were really powerful. One is the University of Warwick demonstrated that an increase in happiness led to a 12% spike in productivity. And then Ben Weber studies demonstrated that happiness can increase productivity by up to 25%. By making small changes at work that increase employees' sense of fun and satisfaction, such as overlapping lunch breaks and the placement of coffee stations. And I thought it would be...
Doesn't that seem to initially say, well, that seems drastic, but then you think about it, it really rings true, because if something sparks your energy, now you have more energy to do it and to do it right and to do it longer, and then you're, you know, and so if having it be fun can tap into that, why wouldn't you do it?
Right. Yeah, I don't understand the part about, you know, why wouldn't you want your people happy? I mean, if your people, if I mean, we're seeing research here that says that happiness is going to increase productivity. If why would you want your people miserable? Because the opposite is absolutely true, right? If your people are miserable or dreading to come into work, how productive can they be? Question mark.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. And so why, and I spend a lot of time with making the case to that type of manager, and it's saying to them, look, here's the benefits. It's not that hard, really, but it's not going to happen by magic. And what I found is for a lot of managers like that, they've got a false tape in their head that is saying, I can't be weak. You know, if I do something that's fun, I'll be weak. Or I just worked with a major corporation on, it's like 40,000 companies in 40 countries, 45,000 employees. And the person I was working with, and we were company-wide initiative, her boss, his biggest fear in the whole thing is that he would look silly. Mm. You're going, really? That's just... and fortunately, we had enough strategies so that you know, he couldn't block what we had going. And one of them, by the way, that I did is we found four executives, vice presidents, that were good at the stuff we were talking about, recognizing employees and value, talking about their, and we put them on a stage and I interviewed them just kind of as a devil's advocate. I say, well, you run an important part of the company. You are got to be busier than a bandit. How can you have time to pull someone aside and tell them they did a good job? How's that even possible? And to have them say, no, that's critical, because that might just be a few seconds. But the impact of that, the residual on how they feel about themselves and how you made them feel about them, they're going to carry with them, and they're going to take that home, and they're going to share it with others. And every time they do, they're going to relive and reinforce that positive thing that they made happen. That's the people would say this for the fact that it didn't cost any money even to do it. It has an unlimited return. It's like you're absolutely crazy if you're not doing this. Mm. So basically I took the message I had and I put it through the words from their words of people that were good at it in the same organization. We had 300 vice presidents come to that meeting. And they all, you know, they all got to hear that from a colleague that they respected and why they're doing something that they're not. Right. And that was instrumental strategy and to kind of break through the logjam of saying, yeah, I know you pay people well. Yeah, I know it's a great company. But here's the truth of the matter. People go to work for a great company and they leave a bad manager. That's the story. Most turnover.
Yeah, that's so right.
You could be a great company and have great benefits. That doesn't matter when it comes to do they feel special? Are they excited about what they're doing? Have you caught them doing something right? So because what gets noticed gets repeated. Right. What gets recognized gets repeated. So if you want more of the good things, you better say something. And yes, I know it's simple. Yes, I know. But it's not going to happen by magic. You got to actually get in the game yourself.
When I was in grad school, I studied under B.F. Skinner's last student, Dr. Fran McSweeney. And then my advisor was Dr. Thomas Brigham, who co-wrote the Handbook of Applied Behavior Analysis with Dr. Catania. And, you know, it's a simple principle that what you reward gets repeated more frequently. It's very Skinnerian behavioral. Sorry, folks.
Yes. You can. No, it's true. It's also called the greatest management principle in the world.
Right. It's extraordinarily Skinnerian, and a lot of people ignore it, but it is so true. If you want the behavior to be repeated, reward it. Reward it. It's really.
And it doesn't have to be $1,000 or a trip to the Bahamas. It could be, hey, great job on that. That I was delighted when I said the customer said this about it. You know,
right?
There's so many ways. In fact, that the whole thing, it's a simple thing. And in the book I did, 1,001 Ways to Reward Employees, I just said, and here's what it looks like, and just got out of the way. And here's, and so basically this very simple concept is all around us all the time, but most people are blinded to it.
That's
most,
so true.
In my research, 80% of managers think they're pretty good at it. You know, right. I read the 1 minute manager. I know it's important to do. I go, yeah. You know, it's important to do, but are you doing it? You know, there's this knowing doing gap that exists.
And well, right.
The managers think they're good at it. Only 12% of employees are feeling it. That's a pretty big window there.
It's huge. And, you know, you talk about the fun principle in the management leadership piece. And here's what I think where managers fail, because, and I think you do a great job of pointing out, because you say it real quickly. Know your people well. What do they value? What do they consider to be fun? And then deliver on that. And I think that very simple, what you call the fun at work principle, I think that's what's missed by so many CEOs and managers, is that they don't know their people well, they don't know what they value, they don't know what they consider fun, and they don't deliver on it.
Yeah, because they're the boss and they've got all the answers, or they feel they're expected to have all the answers, so I don't need to ask you about anything, let alone about your life and what's important to you. It's sort of, I'm paying your paycheck, and you know, and I pay you pretty well, by the way, and so get over it.
Right.
Woo! Okay.
Right.
And you know what? And now, if you're the type of person that believes that, you're the type of person no one's going to want to work for. You're the type of person that's going to be want to constantly prove themselves by being the smartest person in the room at all times in every conversation.
Right.
And you will drive people away from you. In fact, that is one of the I actually coach. I'm a personal coach for Marshall Goldsmith, who's ranked as the number one executive coach in the world. And that's in he wrote a great book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There, and he outlines the key obstacles, and that's actually one of the big ones, is that people having the starting point of, because they're the CEO of the company, they've got to be right in every conversation. They got to be, you know, they've got to say the last word. They've got to, and it makes everyone else just grinds them down, and they, no one wants to work with them. And then now you got turnover, and now you got, and it isn't until they have an intervention, and Marshall has worked with probably 350 CEOs of major companies. It isn't then until they have an intervention, and he's the one that does it, that says, I got news for you. You know, you're not going to be promoted again. No, they need me here. I deliver the goods. Yeah, that might be true, but you're not getting the next job. And, right. Well, how come? Because you're an asshole. It's like, no, I'm not. And he'll do this. He'll be in someone's office. And I have to be at work. At home, I'm much different. Oh, really? Just call your wife. And then he'll do it right there in front of him. And listen to the person laughing. Just call your kids. And it turns out that he just puts the mirror up that you're basically an asshole to everyone in your life. No one's going to be at your funeral. You'd be lucky if you don't die alone. And now, think about that for a little bit. And until you have that breakthrough, and then, okay, what do I have to do differently?
Right.
And that's what he, and then he doesn't give him an answer. He has to come up with that answer with the people that he's alienated. So he has to have the conversations.
Right.
And then they would set up some strategies, and then they measure them from the same people. And it's very powerful. It, 100% effective.
Wow. 100%
effective.
Well, let me ask you this, because we only have a few minutes left, because believe it or not, we've been on almost the whole hour. It's gone really fast, by the way. It's really, really fast. Let me ask
you. Which is an indicator right there of having fun, right?
Right, right.
Because we always say, time flew by. We don't say that when we're miserable.
No, we don't. No. No, what we do is we want to say, can I poke a fork in my eye so that I can be picked up by the EMTs? That's what we
exactly.
do when we dread it, right? That's, we're just looking for a way out.
Yeah, but when we're having fun, it's like, whether you call it flow or whether, wow, time just zipped by. That's a good indicator. Is that what happens to you at work, or are you dreading it all and then dragging and watching the clock or thinking about, I got to quit this job, you know? catch yourself and get on the right track. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just, since we've got about a minute or so here, I was going to ask you if you could kind of give a, I don't know, give the listener a new direction in fun, you know, because I've got a lot of CEOs and business people and leaders and that listen to the show. If you could open their minds to it, what would that be real quickly?
Well, I'm not one to give, tell people what to do because that's not worth anything. It's, they have to want to do it. So this is why I write books that give them a broader choice, a broader spectrum of things to choose from. And if they could say, well, now that's something I could do. Okay, great. Do that one. That may not be the end all, but it's going to get you in the game. And then basically you can build on that. This is maybe a good story. I was working with the CEO in Manhattan, talking to him over beers. And he said, you know, the problem we have in our company is that everyone leaves after 3 years. I go, oh, really? Oh, I can't figure it out. We're a great company. And I said, why do they come to work with you to begin with? He said, because we're the best at what we do. They come here to learn. And here, all I'm doing is asking questions. I said, well, do they get to learn when they come? And he thought for a moment and said, not really. we put them in this narrow job. And, you know, the top managers are having all the fun making the decisions and stuff. They're in this narrow job pigeonholes until they burn out and they leave the organization to maximize the leverage of having worked with them. And I said, well, you got your own question. You got to answer your own question. You got to find a way to put them in the learning seat, have them feel part, touch the flame, to have them feel part of all this that you've created, to be truly engaged. And I didn't tell him what to do, but based on that, he thought about it, and he on his own said, okay, I'm going to have a breakfast once a month with one person from each department. And he did that the first time. He had never done that. He'd been CEO for this company for 25 years. He did it one time. He tried something that he was willing to try. He said, I can't believe I haven't been doing this. He said, I learned so much about my own company. And all he did is they just went around the room and everyone shared one thing they were excited about in their job, including him. And so what did that mean from their perspective? One, you know, for him, he goes, I learned so much about what's going on in my own company. I didn't know. But what everyone there could say, hey, guess who I had breakfast with today? It's their spouse or significant other. Yeah, the CEO. Yeah, he wanted to know what I thought about such and such. He goes, oh man, you're on your way. You're on the map. Over the course of the year, he had FaceTime with every individual in the company.
That's beautiful.
Transformative. All their turnover stopped.
That's wow. I told you he was going to be great. His name is Dr. Bob Nelson. He was awesome. Work made fun gets done. I'm just telling you. Listen, we had a great show, but listen, folks, we're going to have another great show next week. I say this to you every week, right? There's two things in your life you can control, your attitude and your effort. Regardless of the circumstances around you, you have control of those two things. Take control now. I'll be back next week with another great show. It's going to be another great guest, and it's going to be another great book. And as I say to you every week, and you know what that is, everyone, ciao, everybody.
You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry.